Today's shiur is Masechta Sota Daf Chof, and we will begin on to Mishnah on Daf Chof Amud Aleph. Continues the Mishnah in describing the procedure of what happens as we give the Sota to drink the Mei Sota, the Mayim HaMa'orim. Says the Mishnah, Atshlei Nimcha Koha Megillah, before the Megillah is erased, Amrav, the Sota, says, Eini Shaisa, I refuse to drink. Even if she doesn't use the words that she's tamei, she just says, I don't want to drink. Where the halacha is that the husband then divorces her. She's not entitled to the ksuba. The halacha is megilasa nignezes. As machlokes rishonim, what does that mean? Most rishonim explain megilasa nignezes means that the megillah that has on it the shem Hashem is put into shemus. However, Tosfos has a very interesting pshat. Tosfos says that the Megillah is put under the door of the Beis HaMikdash, and like that, people walk, Pash Pshat, as people walk there, and that's how the Megillah gets erased, dissolves, which is a difficult Pshat, the Mefarshim explain, because the Megillah has Hashem's name on it. So how can we allow, as the Gemara says in Masechta Makis, we're not allowed to cause that Hashem's name should be erased? So there are a number of explanations of the Yerushalmi. One pshat is that since it's not being erased directly, it's nobody going and actually erasing it, that's not called erasing Hashem's name. One pshat. Another pshat is that the Yerushalmi actually, and that's why the Yerushalmi disagrees with the Bavli, and that it's mutter. Another pshat is that the Yerushalmi means that it's put there. Doesn't mean it's just put where anybody can walk on it. It's put in under the ground, so nothing happens to it. Another pshat is that this Megillah was written, so to speak, with an expiration date. It was written up front with the understanding that it may end up being not used and therefore not holy. And the fourth pshat that I saw is that since the original intent for this Megillah is that it should be erased, so it's not like a Sefer Torah. When a Sefer Torah is written, the intent is that it will remain a Sefer Torah forever. Here it was written with the intent that it will be erased, and therefore there is no issue of erasing it. Another question that I saw that the Maril Diskin asks is why erase it? In those days they didn't have printed chumashim. So how did they teach in the yeshivas boys learning? They used to have Megillahs written. So why don't they save this Megillah for the children to learn from? So one pshat is that since it was written the Kedusha, you can't just use it for the kids to use in yeshiva. Another pshat is, as we have learned, and we'll discuss this again in Mitzvah Shem, it wasn't specifically written word for word. Some sukkim were skipped. So you can't use it to teach children. When you give children a Megillah to learn from, they have to have all the sukkim in the right order. And a third pshat is that this Megillah was written originally because of a specific woman who became a Saita. And that a woman, as we learned, has said any shaisa, she's not drinking. We don't want that this should remain forever, that everybody should always say this is the document that was written because of that woman. Highly embarrassing, and therefore, instead of using it for the yeshiva children, nignezes. Uminchasa mispaseres adeshim. Since the Karban Mincha already got a Kedushas Aguf, as we discussed in the previous perek, because the Mincha was put into Klisharis, the halacha is there were three places where they kept ash. One was in the Azara, the other was in the Harabayis, and the third was outside of Yerushalayim. Since this Mincha already had it under the Kedushas Aguf, so we can't just take it out. The halacha is that it is put on that ash heap. However, say the Rishonim, if she would say any shaisa prior to the mincha getting kedushas aguf, that means prior to the being put into the klisharis, then it's still redeemable. But this mincha can't be, this megillah cannot be used for another saita. Point out the mefarshim, although another saita can't use this megillah, she, let's say they speak about the following situation. Let's say there were Eidei Stira, and that's why she became a Saita. And now those Eidei Stira, we did a Hazama on them. They were Eidei Hazama. So they become disqualified. So she goes home. Let's say the husband will again go through the kinui stira process with her, and now there are no edim zayimin. So the halacha is they could use for this same woman the old megillah that was written for her. Nimchaka megillah. Once the megillah was erased, and the rishonim say the following: before the megillah is erased in the water, the halacha is that that water could just be put. And then let's say she decides not to drink, you could pour the water back into the kiyor. But let's say the megillah was already erased, so you can't put the water that has the parchment erased in it back into the kiyor, so it has to be spilled away. Vomit tmeyani, and she says tmeyani, the halacha is amayim nishpachim, we have to pour away the water, or mechasa mispazeres al beis hadeshen, as we learned a moment ago. Nimchaka megillah, says the, in the azara. Nimchaka megillah continues the Mishnah telling us a halacha that we discussed yesterday. Once the megillah is erased, v'amrei nishos, and she refuses to drink, ma'aron oisai or mashkan oisai balkarcha, we force her to drink. But as we explained in the previous shiur, number one, it's only if the megillah was erased. And as we explained, because we see she's machmas recisa, she's agitated. But if she see that she's calm, we don't force her to drink. Furthermore, if she specifically, explicitly says, Tmeyani, I am guilty, then we never force her to drink. And furthermore, the Mefarshim explain, we don't force her. That's not the first thing we do. The first thing we do is we try to explain to her it's appropriate she should drink. If she refuses, then we force her. Continues the Mishnah teaching us, once she drinks, what happens? She doesn't begin to drink. Her face turns green. Her eyes bulge. The veins in her body protrude. And the Kohanim announce when they see this happening, take her out because the Azara should not become tummy. Explain the Mefarshim. What do they mean when they say Hotziua? Since she's about to die, and the Kohanim are not allowed to become Tamei. But we learned at the beginning of the Masechta that there were people tending in the Beis HaMikdash and the Azara observing what happened. Those people weren't Kohanim. So they tell those people, you should make yourself Tamei. You're not Kohanim. We're Kohanim. We're not allowed to become Tamei. You take her out. And in fact, the Gers and the Tosefta is Hotzio, Hotzio. They make announcement, take her out quickly because we don't want her in the Azara. And we'll describe in the Gemara exactly why. Says the Mishnah. However, im yesh l'schus, sometimes a woman has certain merits that could postpone this from happening. Hoyse toyla law, it could postpone it. Yesh l'schus toyla sharachas, sometimes it postpones it 1 year. Yesh l'schus toyla beishanim, sometimes 2 years. Yesh l'schus toyla gimel shanim, sometimes 3 years. Mefarshim explain, never more than 3 years. Why never more than 3 years? Because as we know throughout Shas, 3 years is a chazaka, and if she's going to live more than 3 years, so the chazaka is that she's going to stay alive, so it's never more than 3 years. The Mefarshim explained when 1 year, when 2 years, when 3 years. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is, if this woman excelled in avoda, she davened, so then she gets a 1 year chos. If she excelled in Torah, she gets 2 years. And if she excelled in Gemilas Chassadim, she gets 3 years. That's one pshat I saw. Another pshat that I saw from the Ben Yoyada is as follows. Certain mitzvahs are only doable by day. How many hours are there in the typical day? 12 hours. So she gets 12 months corresponding to 12 hours. There are certain mitzvahs that can be done by day and by night. So that's 24 hours. So she gets 24 months, 2 years, corresponding to those 24 hours. There are certain mitzvahs that are even more than 24 hours. What is a great example? Two examples. One is Shabbos. Because not only is there 24 hours of Shabbos, but there's Erev Shabbos when you're supposed to prepare for Shabbos. Yom Kippur. Not only are there the 24 hours of Yom Kippur, but we know that the Gemara says that you're supposed to call them Sana Chiva Siri. So those are 36-hour mitzvahs. If she kept those mitzvahs, she gets 36 months. It's also interesting, our Mishnah doesn't have the skirsa, but if you look in the Rambam says, but what happens during those 12, 24, 36 months. It's not like she's fine. She deteriorates until she ultimately passes away. So I saw from the Tzitz Eliezer and from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, they use this Rambam, l'halocha l'maisa. Sometimes you have people who are very ill and they're deteriorating, and people want to suggest maybe it's better that they should die. This Mishnah teaches us, what's the schus? The schus is to live, even though it's not a great life. She's deteriorating. Living is always better, even in a poor state of health, is always better than dying. Says the Mishnah, Mikanama ben Azai, because of what we just learned, ben Azai says, Chayiv Odom Lamedes Bitei Torah, a person has to teach his daughter Torah, Shem Tishta Teidesh Chus Torah, which means as follows. Here, we're telling her that the power of the Mayim HaMorim. And now she's going to see that they don't work, because she knows she's guilty. So she should know it's not because they don't work, because Chus, what's Chus, we'll learn in Mitzshem, and tomorrow she'll could postpone it. Another pshat is that a woman should recognize the power of Chus. What is the power of Chus? That the Chus could postpone even Mayim HaMa'orim from working. Rabbi Lez Omer, we should not teach a Torah. Famous Gemara, because Rabbi Lez says, Kol HaMalamed Bita Torah, whoever teaches his daughter Torah, Kila Lomda Tiflis. It's like teaching her how to have immoral relations. And this is a very famous Mishnah that discusses that the Mishnah that Rabbi Lez is teaching us that we're not supposed to teach our children, our girls Torah, although the Mefarshim ask that we know already many places in Shas already, Bruya, who was the wife of Ramea, knew how to learn. Throughout Jewish history, we have found learned women. Moreover, the Mefarshim ask that women make Birchas HaTorah every morning. If they're not obligated to learn, how do they make Birchas HaTorah? So there are many, many answers given to the Birchas HaTorah question and to the general question. One answer that's given is that Birchas HaTorah is not said on learning. Birchas HaTorah is said on showing an appreciation and respect to Torah. Even if a woman doesn't learn, she is supposed to appreciate and respect Torah. Another pshat, which particularly works well for people of Ashkenazic descent, is the halacha the Ramah holds, is that even a mitzvah that a woman is not obligated to do, for example, mitzvah sasei shazman groma, a woman can make a brocha. That's why they can make a brocha leisha besukkah, they can make a brocha on the dalaminim, even though they're not obligated. This is no different than any other brocha, even on a mitzvah that they're not obligated. However, the Mefarshim also give a number of reasons that are halacha lemaisa, why women can make Birchas HaTorah. First of all, some suggest that the only issa for women to learn is only Torah Shebapeh, not Torah Shebiksav. Another answer given is that they're making the bracha, when they daven, they're going to say Kabonis, they're going to say Shema, which are all Divrei Torah, they're making a bracha on that. Another answer, it is a difference, when the Gemara says a woman's not supposed to learn, means that she's not supposed to go to yeshiva to learn, but to learn on her own, she is permissible. And that's the bracha. And the fourth teretz, which is obviously the most relevant answer, is that even if they're not obligated to learn Torah, they certainly have to do all the mitzvahs that are not mitzvahs, such as Mount Grama, and they're certainly not allowed to do any averus. So how are they going to know what's an avera? And how are they going to know what's a mitzvah they're obligated to do? By learning. You have to learn the rules. In fact, there's a very famous Beis Halevi that asks, so that turns into being a huge body of learning to know what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. So how are we saying that women aren't obligated to learn Torah? So the Beis Halevi, and this is the way Rav Shach and Avi Ezri explains the words of the Beis Halevi. He says there are two types of learning. There's learning to know how to do a mitzvah. That, he says, is not really considered Talmud Torah. That's considered Hechsher Mitzvah. I want to know how to be Shomer Shabbos, so I have to learn Hilchos Shabbos. That's not called learning Torah. That's called Shmir Shabbos. That's not included in Talmud Torah. Learning what we consider Talmud Torah is learning for the sake of learning, not specifically to know how to be Mekayim, the mitzvah. That's why we learn Mesach Tesaita, even though it's not relevant. We're supposed to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. That women don't have that mitzvah. But we all know that our wives and daughters do go to yeshiva, do go to school and do learn Torah. This is the Beis Yaakov movement that the Chafetz Chaim and the Emor Emes and other Gedolei Yisrael very much supported. And the Chafetz Chaim explains why. The Chafetz Chaim says that in earlier generations, women learned at home. The family structure was a very strong structure, and everything that a woman needed to know, she was able to learn at a home. Once that structure began to deteriorate, the only way they could be kept and learned and know what they have to do is by going, having a Beis Yaakov movement. Also, the Chafetz Chaim says, in earlier generations, women didn't go to school at all. So it was different. But to go to school to learn secular studies, that should be mutter. And to go to school and not learn Lamud HaKodesh doesn't make any sense. If they're going to school, they should certainly learn Lamud HaKodesh also. The Ramei Shapiro actually says that this is what our Mishnah says. He says, the Mishnah says, Kol HaMelamed Bita Torah is Kila Lamda Tiflis. She's saying, so as long as your daughter is not exposed to Tiflis, so she doesn't have to learn Torah. Nowadays, where people are unfortunately exposed to Tiflis, so they certainly have to learn, women also have to learn Torah. And not only that, I saw from Rav Zalman Sorotzkin, he says that women have to learn before men. He says, the Pasuk says, Koy Soymer Lebeis Yaakov, the Sagad Lebnei Yisrael. So we see that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, he spoke to the Beis Yaakov before he spoke to the Bnei Yisrael. So women have a more vital role to play. Says the Mishnah Vayta, Rav Shuaima, Roitzish Bekava Tiflis, Metisha Kavna Precious. As we're going to, Taisus will explain on Daf Chof Aleph of Abed, what the Mishnah says, a woman, two pshatim. One pshat is the woman prefers that her husband should be home, even if he won't have such a high-paying job, but she'll have his company, versus her husband having a better-paying job, but he's never home. Another pshat is that the Gemara Masechet Ksubos determines how much a woman is entitled to for support if her husband is not home. Says the Mishnah, and if you make the calculation, she gets a lot more when her husband deserts her. Says the Mishnah, a woman would prefer that she should have a husband with less income than not have a husband available to her. Who are you, Omer? Chasa Shaita, the Gemara is going to explain all these things more in Mitzvah tomorrow's year. But Chasa Shaita means a chasid, somebody who sees a woman drowning, and he says, I'm not going to save that woman. Rosh Ha'orim means a person who gives a woman, first a person who gives somebody inappropriate advice. Isha Prusha means, the Medrash explains, a woman who's a machshefa. So she sees there's a woman in labor, so she says some sort of a kishif to prevent the child from coming out. And then she comes and she says something that the child should come out. So people give her credit, but she doesn't deserve any credit. She made the trouble. Or Makas Prushin, people who just harm themselves and they think that's from, they bang their head against the wall. Hareza Mavli Oilam, Hare Elu Mavli Oilam, they destroy the world. Arab Yudam Shmuel Mishim Rameya. Shiyisi Lama Torah Etzer Rekiva. When I was learning Torah by Rekiva, Hayisi Matl Kankatam Latoycha Diyoy. I put some sort of gum into the ink. And he didn't have any problem with it. Then I came to Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva. So he asked me, what is your job? I'm a cipher. So he told me, be very careful. What you do is the work of God. If you omit a letter, a taiser ois achas, or you add a letter, nimchus at the makrivas kola olam kula, you could destroy the world. So Rashi explains, the pshat is, we know that we say every day, Hashem Elokim Emes. If you leave out a letter, Kachas Hashem say Hashem Elokim, Mes. Terrible. The Torah begins with the words, Bereshis Bara Elokim. If you add a letter, Vav, Bereshis Baroi, Lashon Rabbim, you're saying that there was more than one God. That's destroying the world. But I saw that the morale questions this pshat. He said, because even if somebody's going to add a letter or delete a letter, who says that it's going to be specifically those letters that I just cited that he's going to add or delete? Says the morale. We know it says a stakel by Raisa Ubara Alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah, and that's how he created the world. The Torah is the kiyum. Torah keeps the world going. And if somebody tampers with the Torah, he's tampering with the kiyum ha'olam. The Mashal explains that the Torah is completely a series of Shemos Hashem, of Hashem's names. And if somebody deletes or adds a letter, he's tampering. We know what Hashem's name, that's obviously Usur. From here to Paiskim Paskin, that we see that Apostle Sefer Torah has Kedusha Sefer Torah. Because if Apostle Sefer Torah didn't have Kedusha Sefer Torah, so if you added a letter or you deleted a letter, it's just Apostle. So why does it bother us? From here we see that even Apostle Sefer Torah has Kedusha, and we have to be concerned about it. Omatale Dover Echad Yeshli. So he said, I have an ingredient, Shanimatal Techadioi, that I put into the ink, the Kankantam Shmai. Omra Vichim Matil and Kankantam Techadioi, is that permissible? Hatara Omra, the Torah says, regarding the Pasha Saita, Umacha, Ksav Shiochalim Chois, wording that could be erased. Says the Mara, my Kamalei, my Kamaisalei. What was the dialogue here? Says the Mara, Kamalei. This is what Ramei was saying to him. Loim by Xeris, Yixeris. Certainly, there is no concern that I'm going to add a letter or delete a letter. The Bakana. I know exactly how to spell every word. Ela filu lemechish lezvuv. But even to be concerned that there may be a worm that will come on the letter, the doma, the dilma osiv yosiv atagid dalid, or machikle, or machshvile resh. We also say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad. But the difference between a dalid and a resh, it's very insignificant. It's that little piece sticking out. And let's say a worm falls there and erases that little piece. From Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you could chas v'shalom end up with Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Acher. Says, I don't have to worry about that. Why? Dov Echad Yeshli, I have this ingredient, Shani Matal Techad Yoy, that I put into the ink, the Kankan of Shemoy, that prevents it from being erased. It prevents it from being erased. Or some say it repels the worms. Says the Gemara, is this the proper version of what happened here? Amy, Batanya Amar Meyak, Shishilamataretz Rabbi Shmuel. Meyak says, I was learning Torah by Rabbi Shmuel. Hayisi Matl Kankatam Lotacha Diyoy. I used to put this ingredient in. Valoramaladava, he didn't protest. Kshabasa, it's Rabbi Kiva. When I came to Rabbi Kiva, Osralai, he said, don't use it. So Kasha, Shimish, Shimish. First, we have him learn, in the first price, we had him learning by Rabbi Kiva. And then Rabbi Shmuel. In this price, we have him learning Rabbi Shmuel, and then Rabbi Kiva. That's one kasha. Kasha, Asra, Asra. In the first price, we have it, Rabbi Shmuel saying that you shouldn't use the kankatum. And in this price, we have Rabbi Kiva saying you shouldn't use the kankatum. Says the Gemara, Bishlam, Shimish, Shimish, Loi Kasha. The question, who did he learn by first, is not really a question. Because what happened was, Mikara saw the comment of Rabbi Kiva. First he went to learn Torah by Rabbi Kiva. Kivan, the Lamotsu Kamalivei, Rabbi Kiva was a tremendous lamdan. He couldn't understand Rabbi Kiva's shiurim. Also the comment of Rabbi Shmuel. So then he went to Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva. The Gomer Gomorrah, he learned up Shas. Because to really be a lamdan, you have to have the Bekiyas. Had the also the comment of Rabbi Kiva, and then he went back to Rabbi Kiva. Savasvara, to learn lamdas. To learn logic. Ella Asrak, Asra Kasha. Who is the mandama that said it shouldn't be used? Says the Gemara, Kasha. Says the Gemara, Tanya Rabbi Omer, Omer Hay Rameya, L'chol Matilim Kankantam L'choy Chadiyoy, Kankantam may always be put into the ink, Chutz Mi Parsha Saita Bavad. Besides the Parsha Saita. And the Rishonim point out, why could it be put into the Parsha Saita. What does it mean, Parsha Saita? They explain that even though, as we said earlier in our shiur, not really all of the Parsha Saita is really written, but since the Parsha, that Parsha Saita, part is written, part is not written into the Megillah, so we don't want to have a situation that it's in different inks. So the entire Parsha has to be written without that ink, without that ingredient. Rabbi Yaakov Mishmoy Chutz Parsha Saita Shal Migdash. Not just any Sefer Torah, but a Sefer Torah that's used in the that was specifically written for this woman. The Rishonim also point out, we discussed in the previous year, that only a Sefer Torah written, only a Parashat Soita could be written by a Kohen. So if we're going to say that any Sefer Torah could be used for a Parashat Soita, there has to be that that Sefer Torah was written by a Kohen. Because if it wasn't written by a Kohen, it's not usable. Says the Gemara, my benayu, what is the machloikis? Amar Mirya, lim chakloi min haTorah. If we could erase, if we have a regular Sefer Torah that has in it, obviously, the Parashat Soita, can we take out that parsha to be used for the Parashat Soita? Ike benayu. The mandamin that says every Sefer Torah, the Parashat Soita, we don't use kankantam, holds that we don't have to have the Parashat Soita written specifically for her. It could be written, we could just take it out of any regular Sefer Torah, provided it was written by a Kohen. And the other mandam holds, no, it has to be written specifically for this Soita. So I saw the Mefarshim ask a Gevaldige Kasha. According to the first man, the Omer, we have a Sefer Torah. It was written as a Sefer Torah. And he holds, you could take out from that regular Sefer Torah, the Parashat Soita, to use for this Soita. How can we diminish a Sefer Torah, which we know is so holy, to use for a Soita? So Mefarshim answer, just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to allow his name to be erased to make Sholem ben Ish l'Ishtai, similarly, we could diminish the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah, Lasa Sholem ben Ish l'Ishtai. Suggest the Gemara, perhaps this Machlokes Tanoim, if we have to have the Parsha Soita written specifically for the Soita, or we could use any Sefer Torah, is consistent with another Machlokes Tanoim. V'hani Tanoi, Kani Tanoi. The Tanya, Eimi Galosik Sher L'Hashkis Bo Soita Achayres. You can't use one, if a Parsha Soita was written for one woman, it can't be used for another woman. Rabbi Yochai B'Yoshema, Miguel Tuk Sher L'Hashkis Bo Soita Achayres. It can't be used, says the Gemara. So the Mandam that says the Sefer Torah could be used will also hold that you could use one Soita as Megillah for another one. And the other one will hold not. Says the Gemara, the two Machlokes and don't necessarily travel together. Amra Papa, Demalohi. At Kalai Kama Tanakama Hossam, the Tanakama there holds that you can't use it for another Soita, because Kivin the Intik L'Shem Rachel, if this Megillah was written for Rachel, Loi Hadrim Intik L'Shem Leia, you can't use it for Leia. Alva Torah, if you have a Sefer Torah that wasn't written in the name of anyone, the Stamik Siv, it's just written, Hachanami the Mechakina. Ask the Mefarshim, by a get, the Loch is, that if a get was just written, you can't use it. Why here is it different? So they explain, a get severs a relationship between a man and a woman. So it has to be written specifically. The Parsha Soita is not here to sever a unique relationship. It's to evaluate her situation. Therefore, it doesn't have the same requirements of Lishma as a get. Rav Nachman gives another explanation. This is the way the Karen Ayer explains the Gemara, why these two machloikasin are not necessarily connected. Demalohi. At Kalan Kamar of Akaba Yoshia, Ela Megillah, Dichtav Lashem, Olus, Boilam. A Megillah that was written for curses can't be used, can be used from one Soita to another Soita. Ava Torah, but a Torah, the Islamic Siva. Why do we write a Sefer Torah? We don't write a Sefer Torah that it should be for a Soita. Sefer Torah we write to learn from. Perhaps he will agree, Hachanami, the Lord of Kinnan, we can't turn a Sefer Torah into a Parashat Soita. So the Gemara has successfully proven in two ways that these two Machlokes don't necessarily travel together. Ask the Gemara, Reb Achabai Oishia, that says that if you used, if a Parsha Soita, Megillah Soita, was written for one Soita, it could be used for another Soita. Doesn't Rav Acha Bar Yoshe agree? A famous Gemara, Masech de Gittin, that says, if somebody wrote a get, Kosev L'garish Es Ishtoi, somebody wrote a get for his wife, for Nimlach, and then he changes his mind, he's not divorcing her. And Matzah Ben Ira, and he finds somebody, Vomaloi, Shmi Kishimcha, two men have the same name, V'shem Ishti Kishem Ishtecha, the two women have the same name, the loch is Pasul L'garish, but you can't use it. So why by a Soita, if it was written for one woman, can it be used for another woman? Answers the Gemara. Hasam, the Torah says the kosov law amrachman. The Torah by the parasha of a get uses the words the kosov law. The inon kasiv lishma. Here there is no such parasha, and therefore if Achi says you don't have to have lishma. Ask the Gemara here too. V'osalah. The Torah uses the word v'osalah. So it should indicate that the Megillah Saita is written lishma. Answers the Gemara, Maya Siyah. What does the Torah mean by a Siyah? It doesn't mean the writing. It means the mechika, the erasing. And the Mefarshim bring a Gevaldig Raya. Because the Pasuk says, Lo sasun kein, l'shem alokeichem, means that you're not allowed to erase Hashem's name. So you see that the word Asiyah is appropriate for erasing, not for writing. Continues the Gemara. Einem spekas lishtois, she doesn't drink ad shepanea until her face begins to swell. Says the Gemara, Mani, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Rav Shimon he. It reflects the opinion of Rav Shimon, who we learned his opinion yesterday. Dama makavis mincha sevakach mashka. That first you bring the mincha, and then you give it to drink. So since, as soon as she drinks, she already brought a kavim mincha, the water could take effect immediately. The Tana, the kavim mincha, because we know that as long as the kavim mincha was not yet brought, lebat kalamaya, the water wouldn't be effective. The ksib, because the pasuk says, Mincha zikaron, maskeres oven. So obviously our Mishnah reflects the opinion of Shimon that the mincha was already brought, and therefore as soon as she drinks, the water could take effect. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that our Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rav Shimon? Ema seifa, in our Mishnah we learned, yesh l'schus, under certain circumstances, hoisatala, sometimes it was postponed, the effects of the water. That reflects the opinion of Rabbanan. Dear Rav Shimon, we're going to learn on Daf Chav Beis, the Mitzvah Shem. He holds, Homa ein schus tal b'mayim amorim. There is no delay. Answers the Gemara, Amr of Chizda, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Rav Kivihi. Then on one hand, he holds, like Rav Shimon, we learned this yesterday, Dama makavis mechos of akach mashka, that he holds that the mincha is brought, and only then she drinks, so therefore the water could take effect immediately. However, as far as the din, that sometimes the schus could postpone the effect, there he doesn't agree with Rav Shimon, there sovel karabot. Vehemayim mitziwa, and they told her, as soon as they see that the water is starting to affect her, that she's going to die, they say remove her. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, why is she to be removed immediately? Dilma Mesa, because she may die. Ask the Gemara, Lememra, the Mace also Machna Levia, and if she dies, she's not allowed to be there. For Tanya, because she's still by the Shtar Nikner, with, as the Mefarshim explained, has the status of Machna Levia. For Tanya, Tame Mace, Mutam Lechnes Machna Levia, somebody who has a Tumas Mace may enter the Machna Levia. V'loy Tame Mace Bavad, not only somebody who has a Tumas Mace on him may enter the Machna Levia, Ela Filu Mace Atzmoy, you could even bring a corpse there. Shenemer, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, V'yikach Moshe's Atzmoy's Yosef Imoy, Imoy, V'michitzasoy. Where was Moshe? Moshe was in the Machna Levia. Moshe was a Levi. So why are we so concerned that if she dies, she's not allowed to be there? Ask the Mefarshim, even if Midoraisa, she, a Tamei Mace, is allowed to be there, Midorabonin, they're certainly not allowed to be there. So maybe to fulfill the Gzeir of the Rabbanon, they should be removed. She should be removed. Answers Rabbi Chanan, if it's only Gzeir of the Rabbanon, and they didn't bring a Mace in L'chatchila, she was there legitimately, they wouldn't make such a big issue of a remover. There must be a Tumah D'oraisa here. Answers the Gemara, the concern is Shema Tifres Nida. She may become a Nida. Ask the Gemara, Lememra, the Bisusa Mapra, is it true that because she goes into Shak, she becomes a Nida? Says the Gemara, in. We find such a precedent. The Ksiv, Pasuk says regarding Esther, when she heard about the Gzeira of Achashverosh, Tizchal Chalamal Kamoy, she got very shaken. What does it mean? V'amaram shepiras nida. She became a nida. And the word ma'oid is the same words as edoim, red, blood. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that fear brings about that she should be a nida? V'anantanan charod misalakas damim, that fear causes that she should not get a period. Answers the Gemara. Pachta, something that's not sudden, some causes that she shouldn't get a period. Bisusa, a sudden shock, mapia, causes that she should become a nida. And here the Mefarshim explain, it's considered sudden. Because she was convinced all along that she's not going to end up drinking the water. And then she ends up drinking. That's a sudden shock, and that causes her to become a nida. Tysus asks that the Gemara says that every woman who dies is machloikis imsecht nida, is she a nida or not, because she sees the malacha mavis. But if according to Al Gemara, sudden shock should certainly make a nida, how can we have such a shayla? So there are two answers given. One answer is typically a woman who dies is sick, so her whole system is anyway not really functioning properly. Another teretz is when does she, by the time she sees the malacha mavis, she's already dead, and therefore she can't become a nida. So I saw a gevaldig kasha from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer asks, if so, that sudden fear causes a woman to be a nida, why should we not always, the Gemara many times discusses, tipastam, any small emission, causes a woman to be a nida. So why should we always be concerned that a woman got shocked and maybe she became a nida without her knowledge, and she should always have to examine herself? So the Chassam Sofer says a very interesting teretz. The Chassam Sofer says that when a woman becomes a nida because she was shocked, it never comes out just a drop of dam. It comes out with a flow, and she would certainly be aware of it. And if she's not aware of it, obviously it wasn't a shock. Although, I did see a marsham that says just the opposite. We know the halach is that when a psula has first-time relations with a husband, even if there was no dam, she always becomes a nida. The halach is. Why? We didn't see any dam. So the Masham says, because since it's the first time she had relations, so it's like a situation of shock. And Al Gemara says that every woman who goes through a shock becomes a nida. And that's why the Masham says that every basula, when she has relations the first time, is a nida. So we learned, yesh le tzchus, if she had a tzchus, sometimes it postponed a year, 2 years, 3 years. Says the Gemara, Mani Masnissan, who's the Tanava Mishnah? Loya be Yosef ben Chanan, Veloya be Loz ben Yitzchak, Ish Kfa Dorom, Veloya be Shmuel, doesn't reflect the opinion of any of these Tanon. The Tanya, Im Yesh Lo Schus, if she had some Schus, Tala Lo Shosha Kadoshim, it postpones for 3 months. What's the 3 months? Kedei HaKaras Uber, that if she's pregnant, we should be able to tell that she's pregnant. Divrei Abba Yosef ben Chanan. Where does he take it from? Because the pasuk says v'nizra zara. We have to see if she has any child. Reb Yitzchak ish kvad dorim oimer tesh chadashim. We wait. It works for 9 months. Shnemar v'niksa v'nizra zara. V'lahal oimer zara avdaru supul zara. Zara royal supper. It's not just that she has to be pregnant. It has to be zara that came out, and it takes 9 months for the child to be born. Reb Shmuel oimer Shnei Masachodesh, a year. Says the Gemara of Ampish and Raya Ladover, even though there is no clear Raya that a Schus could postpone something for a year, there is a Zeich Ladover, the Ksiv. The Pasuk in Daniel tells us that Nebuchadnezzar had a terrible dream, that he's going to be subject to live with the animals. And he comes in the morning after seeing this terrible dream, and he tells Daniel of his dream. And what could he do? So Daniel tells him, I have a piece of advice for you. Lehein Malka, Malki Yishapra Lacha, you could do better. The Chato Echo, Vitzdaka Proik, you could have your sins redeemed by giving Tzdaka. Vavisicha, and your Averis, Bemechen Aninim, by giving charity to poor people. That will give you an extension to your tranquility. All of what he saw in the bad dream happened. When? After 12 months. So we see that after 12 months, he had a schus because he gave tzedakah, and that schus lasted 12 months. But now we come to our question. Our Mishnah said 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. And this Brisa said 3 months, 9 months, maximum of 1 year. answers the Gemara, La'olam Rabbi Shmuel. Our Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Vashka kro the Amu V'tani. But we found the pasuk that says, Koy Amah Hashem, Al Shloisha Pishay Adam. Three Averis. So we take that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us time for three Averis. So if each Avera gives you a year extension, three times one is 3 years. Ask the Gemara. So it's a Gevaldig Raya that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rishmol. So why is the Gemara saying, Apishen Raya Ladover, El Zeich Ladover? Or my Apishen Raya Ladover, Zeich Ladover? Says the Gemara, where are you trying to bring a Raya from? You're trying to bring a Raya from Nebuchadnezzar, the Goy. Tilma Shani Avay the Kachavim, the Lamifka Dina Alayim. Goyim are different, as Mepharshim explained. Many times, we see that people who do Averis, particularly by Akum, have a good life. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give them reward for whatever good they did in this world, and then they should go straight into Gehenna in the next world. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts with the Akum. But he doesn't necessarily act with us that way. So to use Nebuchadnezzar as a model for us doesn't necessarily make sense, and that's why it's only Zeich Ladover, not Raya Ladover.
Right here, sir.